Well, good morning. And it's so good to celebrate this day. It's Pentecost Day, as Diane has led us through songs of the Spirit and what the difference that makes. Of course, one of the differences after Christ came and died and rose again was that we have the heart of God right here with us. That's by His Holy Spirit. He lives in our hearts. And that brings us so close to God that we can have conversation with Him. And our prayer is that just that. We use the word prayer. It is, of course, a holy time, a reverent time. It's also a time, it just means we're conversing with our God. We're letting Him know where we're at. We're letting Him know how we are, our needs, our praise to Him, our thanksgiving to Him. It's a wonderful opportunity to just join our hearts. And, sometimes I pray, you may not be on the same page. I give you permission that while we're praying, your heart may wander and have your own conversation with God. But I'd be happy to lead you in that conversation. Any prayers of joy or concern that we might raise up together as a community here? Okay. Yeah, so she's transitioned off the ward into satellite health. We'll remember her as she hopes to recover and gain strength. Let's come to God in prayer. God, it's so good to meet with you today. Like we do on so many occasions in our day-to-day, when we wake up in the morning, when we have a meal, when we go to sleep at night, we're so grateful that we're able to have that conversation with you and connect with you and grow our relationship with you. We're especially thankful that we can gather this morning as a community together, and that we can have this fellowship with you, this good time of sitting together, of sharing our hearts, of sharing our needs, of sharing those things that we are thankful for. Lord, we recognize that you are always with us, and what a privilege it is to have a friend like Jesus. We thank you for the way in which you have been with us this past week. What kinds of different things have happened? The tasks that we have done, the work that we have done, the visiting we have done, the programs that we have done, the opportunities to share faith with others and share our lives with others, appointments we have gone to, preparations for surgery. Lord, in all of these things, we know that you are with us. And we pray your hand of grace and healing on those who need it. We pray for Tara, Father, as she continues to recover with the surgery on her foot, recognizing that it takes a long time and it requires much patience. We pray that you would grant her that patience and that you would be with her. We thank you for Carol, that she was able to move. Lord, at the same time, we recognize it means she wasn't able to come home yet. Pray that you would be with her and her children as they continue to walk with her and visit her and encourage her. May she also experience your presence. We pray for Diane, Father, as she prepares for surgery this week and all that it entails, also a time of patience and recovery coming ahead. May she too know that you are with her. Lord, be with the doctors and the surgeons and the nurses. May they work well together as a team. May the surgery go well. May it accomplish all that it was meant to accomplish. And we pray for your healing hand. Father, we pray for those who are in great strife and worry this morning. We recognize that when countries fall apart, either due to war or increased crime or corruption or strong rulers, that, Lord, there are many innocent people that are hurt along the way. whether it be through the loss of their homes, through weaponry, whether it be hunger because food can't get into where they need it. Perhaps, Lord, it's just so much crime it's no longer safe to send your kids to school. Or, Lord, the corruption that happens on the street where people are hurt and women are taken advantage of and where children are abused, Lord, we recognize there is so much brokenness. May they know that you are with them. And may we, your people, respond when we are called to in any way that we can. Through our prayers, through the giving of our gifts, through advocacy for justice, through opening our doors, through just loving people and walking with them, sharing a little bit of our lives. We thank you that we can learn more about that today as we talk a bit about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God. And though there is trouble in this world, you have brought us a peace that passes all understanding. We are assured that we are yours. We know that we are in your hands. We know that you love and care for us. We know that nothing can ever separate us. And Lord, sometimes we don't know how to pray for ourselves, but you have taught us. And so together we lift up our voices, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading is from John chapter 14. And just as a background, we know that this is during the time that Jesus is having an extended conversation with his disciples at the Last Supper. John 14. 60.
I too will love them and show myself to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, we had a baptism over at the other church, and so a little bit of this is related to that, and I hope you'll bear with me. And we're focused this morning on the Pentecost Day, the gift of the Holy Spirit coming down on us and having Christ live with us. And I'm trying to waste time and talk while my computer decides to jam. But we'll get there. Here we go. Should be more like Diane. Go with paper. Never ever fails you. It is true. Paper never. Oh, that's not true. I was once doing an outdoor service with paper and they flew away. So not everything is dependable. There we go. Sorry about that. You know, there's a lot of promises that come in baptism. At your baptism, maybe when you were an infant or an adult, or maybe you're considering baptism yet, it's this incredible spiritual ritual which signifies our new life in Christ. And it's invisible. We don't see God laying his hand on us in baptism. But we have the water. this visible sign that shows how we're cleansed from our sin, that we've been brought from death into new life. But there's another part of baptism that we don't always kind of consider, and that is from our text today that Christ promises that for those who love him and keep his commands will receive the Holy Spirit. Keeping commands. I'm not so great at that. I can't say that my children often listen to my commands, especially when they were small. So, you know, I'm thinking of a time when they were ages 3 to 11, the five of them jammed with us in this much smaller home. They had no place to go, you know, postage size backyard. Because they were on top of each other all the time, they were squabbling and fighting, and frankly, they were under my foot 24/7. And at times, it felt like I was giving a command every second. Don't do that. Be careful. Eat. Stop it. Don't hit. Say sorry. Like, it just never ended. Every 10 seconds. And I don't know if you're familiar with the book I Love You Forever by Robert Munsch, but I so resonate with his line that he repeats often, says, these kids are driving me crazy. And sometimes I would look at my kids and go, I had you done. You were baptized. Doesn't it make any difference? And then we moved to a larger property where we are now, and it was so much easier to say, go out and play. There was so much room to explore. They weren't on top of each other, not even in the house. There was lots of room, and their little imaginations just lit up as they looked at the little bugs and the birds and the stones and leaves for building forts. They had this unending engagement to go out and play that enlivened their hearts. They were engaged, and it brought them out of boredom, and it brought them out of trouble. They had more energy. They loved it when we moved. Moving to that new place was transformational for my kids and for myself. It was amazing. Here in the final chapters of the Gospel of John, in John 16, Jesus is preparing his followers that he's going to leave them. That even though he will come back to them, through, you know, that he will die, that he will rise again, but that he will go back to the Father. He says, I've taught you everything now. You know the way of the kingdom. You know how to live in it. And I need to go, but I'm not going to leave you alone. You see, if you claim faith in me, if you love me, if you obey my commands, then I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to live right here in your heart. And God is going to be so close. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is going to sit right there with you. And he's going to help you go out and play in this great big world. For you to enjoy God's kingdom. And that's why we practice these rituals of baptism and profession of faith, the table. It seals that we belong to the family of God, that he's this perfect parent who takes care of us in everything. And that we respond to God's grace by living out his commands. And to go out and play. Doesn't make a difference. Does it work? I'm telling you, I baptized, you know, an adult this morning and a little baby, and in like 15 minutes after we baptized that baby, he was crying and cranky and hungry. His mother was probably wondering, did this baptism make any difference? But it's this beautiful, deeply spiritual mystery that happens to us. The unseen promises, the purposes, the plan that God has for our life. A transformation has occurred and a transformation is still happening, like it's just begun. These wonderful rituals that the church practice endorse our trust in God's power to bring life out of death. And as God's people, we bear witness with confidence that these actions aren't merely placating some step in religious ritual. They actually put grace, bring us into a place of grace, inviting the Spirit to dwell in us so that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in this world. Now, when it comes to transformation, I mean, we love to use the analogy of caterpillars and butterflies. And no wonder, as far as I'm concerned, all caterpillars are creepy, crawly, creebly things. Don't like them. And yet somehow they transform into this delicate, free, floating butterfly that has this incredible power to pollinate the food garden and feed all kinds of people. A little butterfly transforming the world with one little lick at a time in the flowers. Now, there is a bit of a sad reality that not all caterpillars have opportunity to pupate, not because they don't want to, but there's natural interference or development that caused them to die before they can cocoon. They run into insufficient food sources or unsuitable temperatures or maybe parasites or exposure to chemicals, and they die. Certain factors in the world seem against them. And we too have those times in our life where factors beyond our control come up against us, where there's harm done to us or hurt, or like so many people experiencing war and upheaval or evacuation due to fires, and the list goes on and on and on. There's disruptions in our transformational process to be more like Jesus, and sometimes it has to do with our response to God. As Peter says in his gospel, watch out. The evil one's out there like a devouring lion trying to draw you into temptation and away from Christ. And sometimes we cooperate with that. But then our hope is in remembering the baptism. See, it's not so much something that we agreed to do. It's what God did for us. And when we remember that, we step again into his grace and his protection and his assurance that spiritual disruptions cannot stop the transformational process that God has for us, because he loves us so deeply. In remembering our baptism, we respond to God's call to go and live out the promises. That we promise that we will teach our children and teach ourselves how to grow in a deeper relationship with God. And then understand that it's not just about us. We've been called by the Holy Spirit and empowered, especially on this Pentecost day, we remember that, empowered to go out into the world. In this sense, everything's changed. Because we've been transformed into a new life. We've been made alive in Christ like a free-floating butterfly whose one little lick can change an entire garden. You see, new life in Christ goes beyond knowing God and moves us toward joyfully doing for God. And let's put this in educational terms. Our son Brian was in, you know, he was in a good job, but it wasn't going to take him anywhere. And he knew he needed to move on. So here he is. He's a young adult. He's been working for several years. He puts himself through school to be a millwright. And he hates school. It's grueling. It's ugh, day in, day out of sitting in a classroom and getting all this head knowledge when all he wants to do is go, okay, I know this. Now, can I touch something and work with it so that I can put experience behind it? But no, he's got to sit in school for a while. I mean, whether you're doing nursing or being an accountant or whatever you go to school for, you got to sit for some time patiently. And then for many, like our son, at some point you get an apprenticeship. And for many apprentices, if you're a nurse, I guess they would be more trainees or nurses in training, whatever. I mean, you start off with a broom or maybe a bedpan. You're not even yet putting your education into experience, but they're calling it experience, but it doesn't feel like any of your knowledge is doing anything. And it isn't, at least for the construction apprentice or a millwright, you got to do 8,000 hours before they say, all right, now you're that guy. You're certified. Now you're the master of the trade. And that's when the joy comes, when you're like doing it. And while you're learning it, you're putting into practice all the head knowledge. Ever get bored of being in church? Sitting there in a chair here, in a pew, getting all this head knowledge week after week. What difference does it make? I just want to go on. I want to see God do something. I want to build something. I want to touch something. Well, if you're still sitting in the church, you might be one of those kids that have been underfoot for God for some time, in which he might be saying, these kids are driving me crazy. Go out and play. I've created you for imagination, for ability. I've given you my Holy Spirit to enliven you, to live it out, to love others, to serve them, to open your doors, to share my good news. I've given you my Holy Spirit to give you fresh perspective and understanding and love. I've given you my Holy Spirit to engage with this world and with the purpose of reflecting the divine presence of God. I've given that to you. Go out and play. Enjoy it. It's where your freedom is. Sometimes we sit here too often in our pews, in our churches, and we go, I need to learn more. I got to get better. I got to. And God says, you know what? It takes 10,000 hours before you're an expert. And I'm with you while you're doing it. Take what I've given you and go with it. See, that's what play is all about. It's not just for kids. Thank goodness. Playing is about engaging in activities for the sheer joy of doing it. To express freedom, unburdened by duty, practicality, or responsibility. And Christian play is to know that God's presence through his Holy Spirit is in us, with us. We got to trust that. We keep questioning ourselves. No, stop questioning yourself. Trust what God has taught you. Trust God within you. It becomes a transformational life when we engage in it. Living out that Christian life. It becomes an effortless flow of the Holy Spirit within us, a natural rhythm of grace, acts of kindness. It's such a joy. We need to stop thinking about it as a burden. Because God's opened the doors and says, I've created this world, and I know it's broken, but I'm with you. Just go around and hit the flowers wherever they are. Pollinate the world. Drop a seed here and there. Our promises in baptism, or when we come to the table, or when we've done profession of faith, they're not just words, they're not just religious ritual. And as unseen as they are so tactile. They are promises that transform our lives for living for God. And the powerful call of God that Jesus promised, and I'll read it again from John 16, is Jesus saying, "You will realize that I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me is loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." People of God, go out and play. The Spirit lives in you. Amen. Let's just close in prayer and then we'll sing our final song. Gracious God, we thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We're so grateful to know that you have made your home in our hearts. And like any good parent, you are so patient and you're always welcoming us back, even when we get cranky and whiny. You're so forgiving. You're so gracious. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit also comes upon us and empowers us with words, with love, with grace, with kindness as we are out in this world. May we think less of ourselves, not in a negative way, but less about ourselves and more about what you are able to do, that you enable us to do. We thank you, Almighty God, that you delight in your children, that you rejoice over them with singing, and that we can just have a good time playing together because you're with us every moment of every day in all things. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing, I believe, just to solidify our promises once again. As Christ ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Go out and play. Know that you are in the Father and in the Son, and that the Spirit is in you. Grace and peace to you in his name. Amen."